a prescribable drug. We're not going to choose a bill. Just make it available. People need it and go forward with it. Thank you very much.
Good afternoon. I'm Debbie Mirren. I'm a leukemia patient. I was also a member of the 2011 work group. I've appeared before you for the last 3 years, and it's hard to bring a new message about what I feel so strongly about. I appreciate the progress the legislature has made in the amendments which have lessened criminal punishments. In the last year, as in past years, I've encountered many stories of patients in need. One in particular moved me. He's the grandson of a friend of mine. He's in his early 20s, and he was diagnosed with acute leukemia. He quickly became ill and needed an emergency bone marrow transplant to save his life. Everything proceeded with textbook success until the fourth or fifth month, when the nausea, pain, and anorexia hit hard. He asked his parents for relief in the form of some medical marijuana. Imagine a 20-something asking his parents for that. They eventually turned to me, and I helped them. How could I refuse when 6 years ago I was in the exact same situation? Medical science regularly uses and dispenses controlled substances for the purpose of aiding a patient's recovery or coping with medical needs. Morphine and codeine are simply cousins of heroin and cocaine, and we legalized their use for decades. Simply because we have not developed and approved the U.S., quote, cousin of THC in an inhaled dosage form doesn't mean that we shouldn't use the form that we now have available. We know the medical benefits of it for certain diseases and conditions, and it has been repeatedly and thoroughly documented. If properly dispensed and monitored, the use of marijuana for medical purposes has no greater chance of being abused than its morphine and codeine cousins. We certainly believe the benefit of the latter outweigh the dangers of abuse that we, in fact, do know already occur. As the 2013 legislative session moves toward closure, again, I am hopeful and still optimistic that we will continue to make progress and ultimately reach the goal of full medical legal use. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Questions for this panel? Thank you very much. Appreciate your testimony here today. Let's bring up Tyler Kuttner.
Excuse me.
Also, Marianne Reamer. Dan Riffle. And Holly Davis. Can we slide up one more chair to the table, please?
Sure.
Thank you. Mr. Kuttner, would you like to begin, please?
Yes. Thank you. My name is Tyler Kuttner. I'm 19 years old. I have a condition called cerebral palsy, spastic diplegic cerebral palsy to be specific. And the last time that I appeared before you, I was in full spasm. As I was speaking, my arms were flailing around. My written testimony was clenched in my fist. I have excuse me a second. I've taken my medicine for today, so that's not the case, and that I can present my testimony to you with a clear and confident voice. I'm in support of House Bill 302 because it's the most immediate and the most effective bill presented in this legislative session. House Bill 1101, well, I appreciate its I appreciate that it's a step up in the right direction. When Delegate Moraheim answered the question of how long would this implementation take with a couple of years. That set off a bit of an alarm bell in my head. I don't have a couple of years. I'm a student at the University of Maryland, and I have a daily life to live. I'm going to keep taking my medicine, whether or not I can get it legally. And that's why Bill 302, it is the most effective, because it will get medicine for patients like me and with a wide array of other conditions immediately and without any additional cost to the budget. If you choose to pass those two bills in tandem, I'm sure that there can be only be positive from that. It's absolutely imperative that something is done to protect patients like me and everyone else you see here today.